Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special and song tonight. That's one promise that we have. God will provide. Well, I don't know about you guys, but today has been a great day for me. It was beautiful outside today. It reminds me that we are not far from spring. That was a blessing, although I was in my office studying for most of the day. But the second thing is on my way to work this morning, I saw orange flashing lights. Raymond Street potholes have been replaced. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. And I've learned something through this, though. I've learned something. When we need things done like that, we need to have Brother Andy announce it from the pulpit. I mean, did you guys catch that? Brother Andy announced it from the pulpit on Sunday, and here it is Wednesday morning, and they're not just filled, they're replaced. They patched them, then they went through, and they completely dug it up and redid it. So we need to make sure that anytime there's something like that, we need to have Brother Andy announce it from the pulpit. All right, if you would, turn in your Bibles for me to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. I'm going to kind of jump around tonight in the book of Numbers in chapter 13. I'm not going to read all of it, but we're going to make our way completely through the chapter of 13. I'm going to start reading in verse number 1. It says, if you would stand for me, if you would stand. Sorry, I got a little ahead of myself. Stand for the reading of God's word. It says in verse number 1, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I gave unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel." Now we're going to jump to verse number 17. It says, "And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get ye up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds." Then we're going to jump to verse number 25, and it says, "And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you just so very grateful, Lord, for the opportunity just to assemble here in your house, Father. We just don't take that lightly, Lord. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity that we have just to get into your word. Lord, I pray that you would be with me tonight as I get ready to present this message that you've given to me, Father. I pray that you would just calm my nerves, give me the words to say, Father. Help the Holy Spirit speak through me, God. And I just pray that everybody in here would be attentive and be able to leave different than they came. Father, we do love you. We thank you for everything. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. So, when I was in the 10th grade, I don't remember if I had to or if I didn't have to, but I remember taking a speech class. And in that speech class, as I was preparing this message, because I'm giving kind of like a speech, so I had to think about that, two things I remembered. The first thing was that in every good speech, there could be an icebreaker. Right? So I'm trying to think of an icebreaker, and the thought comes into my mind when I know the passage of scripture that I'm going to go to. The thought comes into my mind, the junior church song, 12 men went to spy on Canaan. So I thought about that, and I'm thinking, I could probably sing that song up there. I could probably have everybody stand up, and we could do the big and strong and the grapes of clusters long, and that God was in it all. And last night I mentioned it to my wife, and she shut that idea down. She said, "You better not do that." She said, "You better not." So I thought about it, and it just so happened that this afternoon, Brother Buddy was talking about the music, the specials, and I said, "Hey, I could sing 12 Men Went to Spy on Canaan as a special." And I mean, he said, "Hey, I'll put you down there as a special." And then I remember what my wife said, and I said, "It's probably not a good idea." So I didn't do it. So in every good speech, there needs to be an icebreaker. But that would have been an awesome icebreaker. I mean, whether it would have been good or bad, I have a good feeling that if that was the route that I would have taken, that Pastor's sabbatical probably would have ended a little early, and he would have been back here by Sunday to have a stern talking to me. So I didn't go that route. But the second thing that I learned, that I remembered in this speech class, and the teacher agreed with me, was that I had no future in public speaking. She agreed with me. And we were on the same page with that one. So tonight, if there's anything good that comes out of my mouth, know that it's 100% from the Lord. It has nothing to do with me. So in the passage of scripture that we're in tonight, we find that Moses is leading the children of Israel, and they're almost to the promised land. There's this promised land that God has promised them, and they're on their way there. They've been freed from the captivity of the Egyptians, and there's been some great things that have taken place in their lives. And as they're on this journey to the promised land, we get to where we are in this passage of scripture, and they're right there on the edge. They're just about to the point where they can go in, and that's where we picked up, and we found that Moses was instructed by God to send in 12 spies. And he wanted to send one of each of the 12 tribes of Israel, and he tells them he wants them to go, and he wants them to assess the land. He wants them to figure out what the armies looked like, what the men looked like, what the fruit was that was there, how the land was, and if it was going to be good for what they needed it for. So that's exactly what Moses did. He sends 12 men in, and they go in, and they spend about 40 days doing their assessment. They're taking notes on what it is that they're seeing. They're taking notes on the fruit, like I mentioned, and they're to take these notes so they can come back, and they can give Moses and the children of Israel, all the people there, a report on what this land is like. And we find that after 40 days, these men, they come back, and they give a report. And one thing that sticks out to me that I wish that I could have seen was where it talks in the Bible in verse 25, I believe it is. Actually, I'm sorry, 24. It says, the place was called the Brook of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching the land after 40 days. And it talks about this cluster of grapes. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I like grapes. I like all food. But grapes are very good and they're healthy, so I can eat a lot of them. But it talks about, in the Bible, it talks about how these men, they took this cluster of grapes, and one cluster they had to put on a staff, and they had to have two men carry it. So it talks about this giant cluster of grapes that they're walking with. And so in my mind, I'm envisioning that these grapes, you know, a grape is about that size, and if you get lucky, you get a bigger one. But I'm thinking grapes that are like the size of watermelons. I mean, that would be awesome, right? You can only eat about two or three or five, however many you want. But the fact is what we see here is that these 12 men, they come back, and the report doesn't seem so bad. In verse 25, it says, and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. But what really sticks out to me is what we find in verse number 28. Verse number 28, it says, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. So what we see here is these 12 men, they come back and they're excited. And they're telling the children of Israel and Moses and Aaron, they're saying, listen, this is what we went. We went and saw this. We saw this land and these giant grapes, and the fruit was good. And the land floweth with milk and honey. But then the word nevertheless, that's the one word that changed it all for them. Nevertheless. The less. This word means despite of all of this. So they go in and they're telling these people, this land is great. This is the land that God has promised to us, that we can have it. He's promised it to us, and we know that anything that God promises us, he's going to give us. But nevertheless, despite of all of this, this greatness that we saw, the men there are big. And the walls there are large. Their armies are strong. Nevertheless. But what we read on, as we read on and we look at verse number 30, it says, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. So Caleb's kind of sitting back behind watching what's taking place, and he sees these 10 spies, you know, the 10 were bad and 2 were good, right? He sees these 10 spies that are blinded. And he's probably thinking to himself, what are you thinking? This is the land that God has promised us. And here you are spreading a bad report, an evil report against this land that God has promised to us. And you're discouraging all the people. And he's probably thinking, use your head. Listen to what you're saying here. Think about what you're saying. You're sitting here telling us how great it is and how it flows with milk and honey. But then the armies are big. The people are strong. There are giants. There are giants there. What are you thinking? So when I was a kid, now, to me it seems like ages ago, but to some it's not. And you teenagers probably won't understand this, but when I was a kid, I was a young adult, I was about 10, and there was, at that time, you didn't have cell phones. You did. Some people did. But a cell phone was like a second resort. Like, you know, that wasn't your first go-to. You had this thing called a landline. Now, kids, you might understand this. You know that little box on the wall that looks like an outlet and it's got the little square hole? That's for a telephone for a landline, okay? I know you're sitting here looking at me like I don't know what I'm talking about, but I promise you I do. So this landline, each house had one, right? And as a kid, I didn't have a cell phone until I was like 15 or 16, I think. And oftentimes, I would go to the phone and I would call my dad and I would say, Dad, or I'd call, and that was the first one I would call. I'd call Dad on the landline. And when he would answer, the first thing that would come out of my mouth was, hey, Dad, where are you? And he would say, Travis, where did you call? Where did you call? And then I would sit there and I would think, I called your house, Dad. Sorry. Duh. That's what Aaron is seeing here. He's saying, what are you doing? You're sitting here telling us how great it is, but then you just completely ruin it by looking at the bad in the situation. You're not thinking about what you're saying. You're missing two things here. The first thing that these 10 are missing is common sense. I was lacking common sense when I called my dad and I said, where are you? And he said, where did you call? Lacking common sense. But the second thing that these 10 spies were lacking was faith. They were lacking faith. They weren't thinking clearly because they were lacking common sense, but most importantly, they were lacking faith. So tonight I want to look at a couple things that the 10 spies did that kept them from thinking clearly. And the first is they let fear overpower their faith. They let fear overpower their faith. I don't know what it is about public speaking or preaching, but it makes you thirsty. Sorry. Fear overpower their faith. They went into this land that God had promised them, and they see these giants, and they see these walls, and they see all these things, and that fear that they get, it overpowers the faith that they have. And before you know it, they're so afraid that they let fear overtake them, and there's no sign of faith in them at all. Now, that's something that in this day and age, we are all pretty familiar with, fear. Okay, we are hopefully ending this crazy last couple of years, pandemic, coronavirus, all of that, where it brought fear not only into our country, but into our world, where you had people that were afraid to go outside. You had people that were afraid to touch the grocery cart. You had people that were afraid to look at someone. I mean, the amount of fear that this coronavirus brought into people's life was a lot, and it overtook us. And it still to this day is affecting people. They're afraid to go outside. I saw a clip that a lady was in a drive-through line, and the person that was handing her drink said, can you please put on a mask before I hand you your drink? And the lady said, I don't have a mask. And the lady working at the gas station or wherever it was said, well, I can give you one. Well, the lady that bought a drink said, so you mean to tell me that you can give me a mask and you can hand it to me, but you can't hand me my drink? It's caused chaos. And it's all because of fear. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be afraid. There are people that have health conditions that, by all means, if you need to stay home to protect yourself. I understand that. But we cannot let fear overpower our faith. These 10 here, they lost sight of the fact that God had promised them this land. When that fear crept in, they completely lost sight of what God had told them that he would give them. And they lacked the faith that it would take to get them into the promised land. Psalms 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Sometimes we let fear blind us to the fact that God is stronger than anything that we come up against. We get so blinded to that, that we serve a God that's more powerful than anything that we can come up against. Now, many of you know my testimony. I've given it several times up here. And obviously, if you haven't heard my testimony, I'm called to serve in full-time ministry. That's why I'm up here. And I'm the youth pastor, obviously. But about a year and a half ago, a situation came into my life where I let fear overpower my faith. And it was on, I believe it was a Sunday morning when I'd already been working with the youth for a little bit of time, and I felt God, and I mean, I didn't hear God talk to me, but you guys know what I mean. I felt God talk to me, and he said, Travis, I want you to go into full-time ministry. And the first thing that I did was say, I don't think I can do this. I let fear overpower my faith. And as I took some time to think about it and to make sure that's what was really happening, it got worse. And I began to look at all of the giants in the situation and the walls in the situation. And I began to think, but I'm not going to be able to do this. I'm not going to be able to make it. I'm not going to be able to sell my business. And if I am able to sell my business, then what happens when I might get a job at a different church if they're willing to hire me with no college background in biblical studies or anything like that. But then what happens then if a church from out of the state hires me and then I have to move states and I have to sell my house and I have to leave all of my friends here, I have to leave my church? I let fear overpower my faith when little did I know and I didn't recognize the fact that God had it all under control. He had every ounce of it under control. He knew what was going to happen. But I was so afraid. I'd worked so hard. I'd worked for the last 11 years building a business, and I loved my job. I really did. At the end, it was getting a little sketchy, but I loved it. And I ran. I ran from this call upon my life for a good while. I tried to become a firefighter. That didn't work out. I spoke with Brother Dave Perry about coming to work for him, and that my business wouldn't sell, so that didn't work out. But it's so ironic that when I finally said, all right, Lord, I'll do it. I remember I was sitting, standing, I don't remember what it was, but I was standing because Brother Tyler was singing a special, and I said, all right, I'll do it. And it seemed like instantly a weight was lifted off my shoulder. I let that faith overpower that fear. And it changed my life forever. If only the children of Israel here could have seen this. If only these 10 spies that gave this negative report could have just let their faith overpower their fear, everything would have been fine. But instead, they chose not to. And you know, it's ironic to me that for my instance, as I was talking about my testimony, that when it comes to something, the greatest decision that we'll ever make, that decision of salvation, that little bit of faith that it takes, we have it. When that time comes and we're ready to call upon the name of the Lord to save us from our sins and to give our life to him, to serve him for the rest of our lives, and to trust in him that he will save us from our sins and give us a final resting place in heaven to dwell with him for eternity, we have that little bit of faith. But what happens when a trial comes into our lives, or a financial situation happens, or we lose our job, or sickness, or we lose a loved one? That little bit of faith that we needed to get saved disappears. Gone. And it's all because we let fear overpower our faith. It just doesn't make sense to me how we can have just that little bit of faith that it takes to trust in the Lord as our Savior. That's going to lock in our spot in heaven forever. But when a small trial comes, we buckle. We buckle. And it's all because we let that fear overpower our faith. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Can I tell you, if only these 10 spies had that sound mind, if only they were thinking clearly like Caleb and Joshua were in this situation, it could have saved them from 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. 40 years. All from a lack of faith. 40 years. If only they could have focused on the good that they saw and let that power their faith instead of letting the fear overcome them. The second thing that they did was when the fear set in, they forgot about what God had already done for them. They forgot about the great things that they have experienced from the point of being, first of all, freed from Egyptian slavery. God freed them from being bound by the Egyptians in slavery. That was one thing, okay? That was the very first thing that God did for them, right? Then, later on in the book of Exodus, chapter 13, we see that as they've been freed and they're on their journey, that God comes to them in a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night, and he leads them. He shows them the path to take. Amen. That's the second great thing that they could have thought about. But then this is, I was going to say my favorite, but I have two favorites, okay? The second thing we see in chapter number 14 of Exodus, when Pharaoh regrets letting them go, and he says, you know what, to his armies, he says, go get them. And now the children of Israel are on their way out, and they look back, and they see that the Egyptians are hot on their tail. What's God do? He parts the Red Sea. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but if I could come up to the Red Sea and see it parted, like you got a water wall right here and a water wall right here and a clear path, like, wow, that's amazing. Honestly, I think that the inner child would come out in me. Believe it or not, I do still have an inner child. You have to keep that when you work with the youth. You have to, okay? You got to stay on your toes. So the inner child would come out, and I would probably be like splashing people and do like the whole jump in the water, jump back out, you know, be scared, hide and scare people. That's what I would do. But maybe you wouldn't. Maybe you wouldn't. Sorry, I mean, that's just like I said, the inner child. But they have these examples of all of these great things that God has done for them. I mean, come on now. The parting of the Red Sea, that's crazy. Amazing. And how are they losing sight of this? I don't know. Then we see later on in Exodus that they're thirsty. And they come to a place called Marah, where the water's bitter. And God tells Moses to take this tree and throw this tree in the water. And all of a sudden, this water is sweet. Another miracle. I mean, come on. They're racking up. A lot of great things that the Lord's doing for them here. And then if we turn over to Exodus chapter 16, this is my second favorite. Exodus chapter 16 and verse 14, it says, "And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoar frost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna. For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat." They're thirsty. The Lord provides water. They're hungry. The Lord provides food. I mean, come on. I mean, imagine that. Walking outside and what is this? A little, like, I don't know, wafer thing. It'd be delicious. I can't wait to get to heaven so I can try manna, okay? Manna and milk, sounds good. But the thing is these children of Israel and these 10 spies, they have all of these great things that they could be looking back on. They have all of these miracles that God has done for them and proven himself. So he said, listen to them. I've done all these great things for you, and I'm wanting to do something else great for you. But all it's going to take is just a little bit of faith. A little step of faith. That's all it's going to take. You know, God takes us through trials to strengthen us and to prepare us for what trials there are ahead of us. But if we lose sight of what he's already done, we might lose that little bit of faith that it'll take to get us through the trial we are currently in. When trials come and our faith is tested, we cannot let the power of fear overpower our faith. And we cannot let that make us lose sight of the things that God's already done in our life. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lead not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Amen. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Were these 10 trusting in the Lord with all their heart? No, they weren't. Were they leaning on their own understanding? Yeah, they were. They weren't acknowledging him. And because of that, he wasn't going to direct their paths. 40 years in the wilderness, wandering, when all they had to do was trust in him. You know, these two good spies, Joshua and Caleb, they believed God's promises. They believed that God promised them this land and that God was going to give it to them. That's why Caleb said what he said in verse number 30. That's why he approached them and said, "What are you thinking?" He knew that God was going to deliver them and God was going to give it to them. They had faith that God would give them that land that he promised them. But the 10 didn't. And neither did anyone else after hearing this evil report. All it would have taken was a small step of faith, just a little bit of trust in the Lord. And because there wasn't, we find the end result right here in verse number 31 of chapter number 13 in Numbers. It says, "But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are." That's their first problem. They're stronger than we are. They're looking at themselves. They're not looking at him. They're stronger than we are. "And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." That right there is what caused them 40 years of wandering. 40 years. So in preparation of this sermon, I came across a story of a man that loved to live life to the fullest. He was one of those guys that, when you think about it now, was like one of those guys that goes to like base jumping and parachuting, all these crazy things that I would never want to do. And he got this thought that he wanted to take a desert adventure, right? He said, "You know what? I'm going to go to the Amargosa," I might be butchering that, "Amargosa Desert in Nevada." And he plans it all out. It's going to be a 3-day trip. And he's going to go to this desert and he's just going to hike. Why you'd want to do that, I have no idea. But some people like that. So he calculates everything he's going to need. He gets his food ready. He calculates how much water he's going to need, because be mindful, he's going to the desert, so you're going to need water. And he sets off on this adventure by himself. And he gets going. Everything's going good. Day one down. He's making good time. Day two, he gets a little confused. And before you know it, he's lost. Now, believe it or not, men do get lost. That's why we use GPS now. So he gets lost, and after quite some time, he goes to get a drink because he's thirsty, and he doesn't have any more water. So as he continues to try and find any source of water or try to find his way back to his car, he's so lost, and in the distance, he sees what looks to be a small house or a shack. Now, after several days of barely having any water, dehydration setting in, he's kind of getting delusional because he hasn't had food or water. And he sees this shack, and the first thing is in his mind, and he says, "Am I going crazy? am I losing it, or is that really there? Is this a hallucination? But at this point, he has nothing to lose. So he heads towards this shack, and as he gets closer, he realizes that it indeed is a shack. So with every ounce of energy that he has, everything that he has left in his tank, he hightails it towards this shack, but only to find that it's been abandoned. There's no one home. Well, no one's here. It's abandoned, so I'm going to go in and look, is what he thinks. And as he's sifting around, trying to find any kind of water or food or anything like this, he sees in the corner what looks to be a well pump. And on this well pump, there's a piece of paper tied to it. And on that piece of paper, it reads, "This pump is all right as of June 1932. I have replaced the parts so it should last for about 5 years. There is a glass water jug buried behind the shack with just enough water to prime the pump to get it flowing." That's good news. But there is only enough water to prime the pump. In big bold letters, big scratched bold letters, it says, "Do not drink any first." Do not drink any first. This man's thirsty. I mean, he's dehydrated and he sees this. And the note continues to read. It says, "You get water as long as you prime the pump with all of the water in the glass. Then pump it like crazy." Then another under it in big bold letters, it says, "Have faith. Have faith." And then the note continues to read, "The well has never run dry. When you get filled up, don't forget to refill the jug for the next feller. Signed, Desert Pete." Desert Pete, that's a name right there. But it's not it. "P.S., don't go drinking the water first. Prime the pump and you'll get all you can hold." So this man here, he's faced with this difficult decision. He's got this glass of water. Now, he can't do this, but I can. Sorry, I was thirsty. He's got this glass of water, right? And the note says that he needs all of this water to prime this pump. He's got to pour it all in there and then pump like crazy. Two things are going to happen. Either A, it's going to work, or B, it's going to fail, and he's probably going to die. But the note says, "Have faith." He's faced with a decision. Does he have faith in Desert Pete? Or does he drink the glass of water? Now, can I sit here and tell you tonight that I'm so very thankful that we don't have to place our faith in a man named Desert Pete. But we have a Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we can put our faith and our trust in to get us through any kind of trial, any kind of tribulation, any kind of job situation, any kind of financial burden that we're facing. We have a God that we can look to and trust in him, and put our faith in him. The Bible says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Never leave us nor forsake us. Is there something that's causing fear to overpower your faith tonight? Trial, health situation, job problems, financial burden, sick friends, sick family, sickness for yourself, loss of a loved one. You know, I didn't know who was going to be here tonight, but can I tell you that God did? God knew who needed to hear this message. Look back at the great things that God's done in your life and let that give you the faith that you need to push forward through whatever trial it is that you're facing. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Something that we do not need to lose sight of tonight, that we have a God that we can put all of our faith, all of our trust in, and he will see us through till the end. Imagine the outcome if these 10 spies would have just had the faith to trust the Lord. Father God, we come to you tonight, Lord, just so very thankful, Lord, for this opportunity to be here, Father. I pray that you would just be with us now as we get ready to give an invitation, Lord. I pray that, Father, those that have been spoken to, God, that they would just step out and make a decision, Lord. I pray, God, that you would be with us now. Just help us to evaluate our lives, God, and to think about the great things that you've done in our lives to help us have the strength that we need to push our faith to overcome the trials that we might be dealing with. Father, we do love you, and we thank you for everything. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.